The time is now. Come, join the inner circle.
Chris and Rob, that's the inner circle.
Let us sit around the table.
With the radio on.
Contact.
88.3 FM.
WAIF, Cincinnati.
Place your hands, palms down.
Ooh.
On the table in front of you.
Not there, Chris. Get your hands off.
Now.
Stop it, Rob.
Spread your fingers like a fan. Stretching so your little fingers touch the little fingers of the person on the side.
Boo! Trick or treat!
I was getting into that, man.
Hi, I'm Chris.
Why do your little fingers have to touch?
You want to get back in there? Let's see.
For once
is this doing a seance?
The circle must not be broken during the seance.
Seance.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are
the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
In effect, tonight is a very special edition of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, because tonight is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show Spookorama.
Oh, Spookorama. That was spooktacular.
It was spooktacular the year before, so we have to be a Spookorama this year.
Spookorama.
Because you can't be the same thing every year.
Nee.
The phone number here is 749-1444. If you have a ghost story,
the circle must be unbroken during the seance.
The circle must remain unbroken during this radio program. So all of you who are sitting at home, tuned in, sitting around your table with the radio in the middle, hold hands and leave the circle unbroken until the end of tonight's program, and maybe we can raise the dead.
Wow.
Pretty cool for talk radio, isn't it?
That would be cool.
I didn't hear him raising the dead on the big one today, I'll tell you that.
Stick a candle in your ear and light it.
And tonight we're going to be talking to people who've seen ghosts and have ghost stories to tell us. We're going to be talking a little bit about trick-or-treating and the history of Halloween, and we might even get into a little bit of the separatist movement in Quebec. So it's going to be a spooky, chilling night.
What about the separatist movement in Toledo? The last thing I heard was Toledo's wanting to leave Ohio and join Michigan. What happened to that? You know, that's just like the mainstream corporate media. They drop an important story like Toledo wanting to join Michigan, and they pick up some little sissy story of no significance whatsoever about a bunch of Quebecers thinking that you're too good for Canada. Well, I tell you what, all that means is when Quebec secedes, all it means is there's going to be two countries to our north we can make fun of instead of just one.
So did you go trick-or-treating tonight, Rob?
I passed out candy and I talked like this to the neighborhood kids.
No, I thought you were going to talk like this all night.
Yeah, don't leave.
If you want to call in and talk like that, you can too. 749-1444. Let's start off talking about the tradition of Halloween. Halloween goes back many years, doesn't it, Rob?
You know, any of that like history crap that goes back before the Enlightenment, you always got to take it with a big grain of salt.
Why is that?
Because what do they know? Like you gave me that one article, and they had the little song that the people sang as they went from door to door begging for cake.
How'd that song go? Can you sing it? Okay, Rob's going to sing the traditional jack-o'-lantern.
Soul, for a souling cake, I pray. Good misses, a souling cake. Apple or pear or plum or cherry. Anything good to make us merry. You know, my guess
is... You don't carry a tune very well, Rob.
I was singing it spookily. But my guess is... This supposedly was the song they sang in the Middle Ages in Ireland. So my guess is they were probably speaking, I don't know, Old English, Celtic. Cherry and Mary probably didn't rhyme in that original language. That's bogus. That whole article's a piece of crap. Don't
Halloween was originally developed from the eve of a Celtic feast called the Samhain.
Ah, yes. Everyone.
Have you ever heard of Samhain?
Samhain marks the midpoint between the autumnal equinox and the winter vernal equinox.
That's why we just changed time a couple days ago.
Well, no, not really, but yeah, close.
Everybody was supposed to move their clock backs. I hope you did, or you'll be tuning in to the Chris and Rob Waiting on Talk Show an hour late.
We all know it's just a government plot.
Government plot to do what?
To steal you of your God-given right to time. I don't know.
When are they going to take gravity away from us?
That's next.
And start taxing us for that.
That's next. Okay, so back in the old days in Ireland. And I heard, your article said that jack-o'-lanterns were from this guy, Jack, who couldn't get into heaven, and he was too much of a prankster to get to hell, so the devil made him walk
the earth.
Until Judgment Day, holding a jack-o'-lantern
holding
to
a lantern.
Light the way.
Now, I heard today on a television program that jack-o'-lanterns came from the Scottish tradition of carving turnips into faces. And then when the Scots came to America, they said, wow, these pumpkins work a hell of a lot better than turnips.
They're a little bigger.
So there you go.
Either way, Scotland and Ireland are pretty close together. They're all a bunch of Celts, if you ask me.
Yeah.
The tradition of the jack-o'-lantern is from the Celtic origin. It's from the people called the Bog People. I guess they lived in a big bog up there.
Yeah, all of Scotland's a big bog.
And they found, in the bogs, they found remains of human sacrifices, many of them being decapitated, that were found preserved in all these peat bogs.
Cool. Like the Woolly Swamp. And you ever heard that song by Charlie Daniels, If You Ever Go Back to the Woolly Swamp? That always reminded me of a bog.
Really?
I don't know, you know, why.
Methane gas would spontaneously ignite from
that
the
always
peat
reminds
bogs,
me of Jim.
And that gives right to all these legends regarding a man who carries the lantern at the night. That's all that, you know, that
so
swamp
as,
gas
as
lighting
the,
up.
As the vegetation decays, it turns into methane gas. And then what, like a frog lights a bick and it ignites?
Yeah, it goes.
That's pretty spooky stuff.
And they think that jack-o'-lanterns, before they were carved out of pumpkins, when people used them to represent that jack guy who was walking, they think that maybe they used a real skull with a candle in it.
They always, used a real skull for it. Soccer balls used to be real skulls.
Soccer balls?
Yeah, in the old days. In the real old days, they'd kick around a head.
Really?
A human skull. Okay, so when did the tradition of burning down Detroit every year start?
That started back, I think, in 1967 or 68.
You know, my friend Brad told me the other day, he said, here, Rob, you know how the world's going to end?
How, Rob?
I said, I don't know how the world's going to end. He said, here in a couple, 3 years, the baseball season is going to be so long that the World Series is not going to end until about Halloween. And I said, yeah. He said, well, one of these years, Detroit is going to clinch the World Series like the day before Halloween, and that city will just burn to the whole ground, and it'll take the rest of us with it. I said, you might be right. He said, that's biblical. That's going to be the end of the world when Detroit wins the World Series on like October 29th or October 30th. So for our own safety, we can't let the World Series extend too far into October. We have to make sure we end it by at least the 15th or so, just for our own safety, so the world doesn't explode in one big mass Hell Night World Series celebration in Detroit. Or, as some people say, Detroit. Or as the French say, Detroit.
Or as Ted Nugent says, Detroit Rock City.
He just says the Motor City. So what else? Okay, when did the whole idea of going around begging for candy come about, Mr. Halloween Fact?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. Like, I think they used to do that, like you said, they used to sing that song and go begging for cherry pies.
I heard that song today.
She's
my cherry pie.
Soul for a soul and cake, I pray. Good misses, a soul and cake. Apple or pear or plum or cherry, anything good to make us merry. I say that better than you did.
You were terrible.
Uh-uh.
Because I knew that that was not true. I knew that was some little bogus rhyme that the author of that article... Where'd you get that article anyway?
Out of a Natural History magazine.
Right. Well, the author wrote a piece of fiction there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have to read, like, Beowulf in the original English?
Beowulf was pretty cool.
You couldn't read it.
He was a dragon slayer.
It was like an old English.
Yeah, I used to fall asleep reading it.
It was like an old English. You couldn't read it. I'm sure that the language spoken by the Celts as they went around begging for cherry cakes does not resemble modern English used in Natural History magazine in the 1990s.
749-1444 is a phone number here. So during the Middle Ages, the church, though, I guess that big Catholic church they had back then, attempted to root out paganism at its root by calling November 1st All Saints Day and November 2nd All Souls Day in order to get around the fact that like October 31st was a pagan holiday and demons and stuff would come out.
Well, it's like the only day that the dead could come visit the living, supposedly.
Right. And to this day, the church is still trying to do that. The Association of Christian Teachers last year published a report on the sins of Halloween. And what worried them the most was that paganism was at the root of Halloween, the root of the festival of Halloween, and the simplification of good and evil was too stark for them, and the fact that the evil spooks are having such a good time on Halloween, the church doesn't approve of that. And it's an awful popular holiday. In fact, if I recall, Halloween is the second most popular holiday behind Christmas for buying decorations and stuff.
Now, from what I understand, the whole deal with the dressing up was
Since the pagans believed that this was the only day that the dead could come back and visit the living, some of those dead guys would be like Al Capone. They'd be bad guys, and you wanted to scare them away. So you dressed up like, you know, the Little Mermaid, and you scared the evil spirits away.
I have a question. Could the growth of the occult movement lead the young to paganism on the holiday of Halloween? John, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, yeah. John. Welcome to the program.
It's pronounced Samhain. It sounds like, it looks like Samhain, but It's not. It's pronounced Samhain.
Samhain.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right? Samhain.
The beginning of the new year for the Celts, this was like, say we have New Year's Day now, this was their New Year's Day.
So this is January 1st to them.
And this was like a day where they invited all their dead ancestors to be reincarnated, you know, in the wombs of, like, the pregnant women that were pregnant at the time and things like that, and they honored their dead ancestors.
God, those Celts were just
things
silly,
like that.
Weren't they?
But
thank God for the Enlightenment.
Did the Celts go out and get drunk on New Year's Eve?
I don't want you misinforming anybody.
Okay, well, thanks. Somebody's got to correct us.
Well, we nailed it. This guy.
That's all I wanted, just to correct
what, us. What, to say you said Samhain wrong?
I said it's Samhain, not Samhain.
Well, how's it spelled?
It's spelled Samhain.
Samhain.
But if.
In downtown Hamilton, that's pronounced Samhain.
Okay.
Just like Joe Nutsall told Tom Brenneman, THOM is pronounced Thom on Main Street in Hamilton.
Thom?
He kept calling him Thom. No, Joe, my name's Tom.
Well, if he wants to call it Samhain, and if you're an Irish guy and you want to call it Samhain, I think you have the right to do so.
Yeah, you call whatever you want to. They learn to spell it. What do you got? Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much.
I think that Catholicism is based on paganism.
Oh, my gosh. I hope this isn't like you're going to turn into Wicca. You're going to turn this thing into Wicca talk, aren't you,
that's,
Chris?
That's okay. Mike, are you a Wicca guy?
I know a little bit about it. But
are you a witch? Are you a male white witch?
No.
Are you a warlock?
No.
Do you cast evil spells on people?
I hope I do.
You hope you do?
Yeah.
What kind of evil spells?
Wish people bad luck that I hate.
Who do you hate?
People I work with.
Where do you work?
Lee's Famous Recipe.
At Lee's Famous Recipe. And you hate... Do they have a lot of witches that work down there at Lee's Famous Recipe?
I think so, yeah.
Really? And warlocks, too?
I think my manager is.
Your manager at Lee's Famous Recipe is a witch and a warlock, so you hate him and you're going to cast an evil spell on him.
I do it every day.
Mike, how old are you?
I'm 19.
You're 19. Did you go trick-or-treating tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is 19 too old to go trick-or-treating? Did you drive?
Oh, it's all in fun. I mean, I'll probably be 25, 30 years old and still go to people's houses.
Still be trick-or-treating? You know, if you come to my house trick-or-treating and you're over 20, you don't get any free food.
Unless you're a chick.
unless you're a honey.
What if I have, like, a really cool costume? Does that
I do make exceptions for cool outfits. Now, what were you wearing tonight?
Huh?
What were you wearing tonight?
Oh, I was a clan member.
You want to hang up on him now, Rob, or you want to torture him some more?
No, don't hang up on
you,
him.
You dressed up as a KKK guy?
Yeah.
What's the matter? Are you a knucklehead or something?
No, it was just a last-minute idea.
A last-minute idea?
Yeah.
Some now, don't try to tell me you're dressing up as a KKK guy with the full robes and everything and the big pointy head?
No. It was a cheap costume.
And this was all in fun, I take it?
Yeah. We only went to like 10 houses. Then we went to a party.
Well, okay, Mike. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, okay.
Bye-bye.
749-1444 is the phone number. Chris and Rob, late night talk show.
This is a spooky Halloween type sound effect.
Yeah, you like that?
With the chattering teeth?
Yeah, that's my teeth when a KKK guy comes to my place.
That's not chattering. Is that chattering teeth?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. The Public Library of Cincinnati in Hamilton County offers a wide variety of services that are free to all residents of Hamilton, Butler, Claremont, and Warren counties. There are over 4.5 million books in the library's collection. This includes the main library downtown and 41 branches. In addition to books, there are videos, records, CDs, cassettes, and books on tape. Items can be reserved by Ma Bell or in person. For more info about what your public library can do for you, feel free to call 369-6900. That's 369-6900.
Wait, how many 69s are in that phone number again?
269s, which is more than anybody can handle.
Man. 749 1-888-344-1444. That's the phone number down here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
749-1444. If you want to send us some fan mail, we have an address, and we love to get fan mail. We just got some this week from somebody who said they loved us.
Where? I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. Man.
I'll show it to you later.
Man.
There were naked pictures and stuff. So if you want to send us a naked picture of yourself, send it to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, care of WAIF, Post Office Box 6126, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45206.
What?
What?
I don't know, man. He gives me stuff and he wants it right back.
Don't forget that the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show is the best talk show in Cincinnati, according to Cincinnati Magazine, and we're darn proud of that. It's a weight that we don't mind carrying on our shoulders. And if you're an aspiring talk show host out there and want to ask us some advice on how to put together a better radio talk program, Rob and I have all the answers, because after all, we are the best.
I'm trying to think of a really poignant, yet humorous, touching, sad but funny Halloween experience, but you know I don't have any. I have no memorable Halloween experiences.
Did you ever beat up some little kids and steal their bags of candy when you were little in high school?
No.
You never did that?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't have a Napoleon complex, unlike you. I don't need to try to wield power over those less capable of taking care of themselves.
Did you ever, like, do your house up with dry ice and put cobwebs all over the porch and some...
No, Mom and Dad are too square to be cool.
They wouldn't let you splatter fake blood around the front yard or anything?
No. I didn't do anything. I never went out breaking pumpkins. I didn't do any of that crap. It just seemed stupid and silly to me, all of it. I mean, going around, you know, dressing up like Spider-Man, collecting free candy was great. Well, you know, getting, back in the old days, back when I was real little, you could actually eat, like, popcorn balls and stuff.
Really? So you can't eat any candy anymore because you think somebody's going to put a razor blade in it or dose it down with some kind of illegal substance or something.
I mean, we'd actually get, until I was like 8 or 9, I could actually eat an apple that somebody would give me.
Here, Rob, listen to this. The phone number is 749-1444. Listen to this, Rob.
On the lighter side of the news, here's a Halloween prank that really backfired. Seems that little 13-year-old Danny Omerta thought that it would be great fun to soap all the windows of the cars on his block. And he had soaped about 7 of them and was starting to soap the 8th one, not knowing that the owner of the 8th car, Carl Downing, was seated inside. Carl Downing shot Danny in the head 4 times.
Poor Danny.
Now, you know, preschool children often become frightened during Halloween.
Why is that?
Cute little tykes. Their fears are often caused by an inability to distinguish their imagination from reality. But, hey, if you're a parent out there, you can help your children cope with the fears of Halloween by trying to understand what is causing the children's fear. Push them right into that haunted house and say, here, kid, enjoy yourself.
Right, so just like if you want to teach a kid to swim, you just throw him out in the river. If you want a kid not to be scared of Halloween, you just kick him into St. Rita's and let him go.
And say, go, kid, go. Eric.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on?
Did you go trick-or-treating tonight, Eric?
Nah, I was at work.
Where were you working at?
Ivy Woods Retirement.
Now, that's nice. Did those old people go trick-or-treating?
Nah, they was acting kind of weird tonight, though.
What do you mean by weird?
I don't know if it was a full moon or if it was just the spirit of Samhain upon them or whatever.
It's Halloween,
but
man.
They was just going on going, I'm confused. I'm confused. It was talking kind of weird.
Did any little kids come trick-or-treating at your retirement home?
Oh, yeah, they were. No cool costumes. I didn't see any cool costumes. A couple people dressed up, but...
Everybody's like Everybody's either Batman or a Lion King anymore.
Or a Power Ranger.
No, they was doing, like, Caveman, being a baby, or Frankenstein. That was pretty cool.
I had a cool Grim Reaper today. He had light-up eyes, came to my crib.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Who else came? Oh, gee.
I was surprised at how many Power Rangers. I counted at least 50 Power Rangers.
I only had 2 Power Rangers.
If I saw a Power Ranger, I would probably shot it.
You wouldn't shoot a kid wearing a Power Ranger costume.
Oh, they're
after
not a
all,
kid.
They're a kid on the inside.
Oh, well, I don't know, man. Just the Power Rangers thing is just, you know, I don't know. That's kind of stupid.
Eric, what do you usually do to celebrate the spirit of Halloween?
I would like to go on top of like Buffalo Ridge and just howl at the moon for a while, conjure up some spirits.
Well, you can howl here on the radio if you want.
Oh!
There you go. Now, do you think you're conjuring up any spirits there?
No, not yet.
What part of town are you calling from?
Price Hill.
What kind of trick-or-treaters do they have in Price Hill?
I don't... Brave ones. Price Hill's pretty decent. I don't know. I haven't seen any, interesting costumes in a while.
No, because these kids these days aren't creative. You can go down to the Walgreens and buy yourself a little Power Ranger outfit and you're good to go. You don't have to sit around and, think about painting up your face or rooting through your mom and dad's closet or the attic looking for some groovy old clothes they haven't worn for 25 years.
Chris, you just wear your mom's clothes anytime. You didn't need Halloween for an excuse.
Well, Halloween makes a good excuse, though.
Okay,
be a good boy and put on the dress.
What's that, Eric?
That was like your mom was telling you,
okay.
Chris, I'm going to lock you in a closet if you don't put that dress back on.
Okay, you can stop now, Eric.
I'm sorry.
You can howl at the moon again if you want.
Was I hitting home too hard?
A little. Sounds like you got a real Halloween party going on there.
Just a couple of friends and my pop.
A couple of friends and a Coca-Cola or a couple of friends and your dad? A
couple of friends and my dad.
Let me talk to your dad.
Sure.
Hello, stranger.
Hello, is this Eric's dad?
Unfortunately, but...
Now, what did you do when Eric was a little kid and he was wearing his mom's underwear?
I hope he only wore on his head. I mean, other places, that's inappropriate.
What was the cutest costume Eric ever wore for Halloween?
Something he made up himself, probably. It was, sort of like he used to really like Turtle Man, He said, Speedy Gonzalez Turtle.
What the hell is Turtle Man?
Yeah, it's Turtle Man.
Who's Turtle Man?
He had retro jets going out the sides of the turtle shell and shit like that, Turtle Man. He had little gym shoes on some, but she's only in the third grade. He had he made his character like had gym shoes on, and it was a little retro jets on its sucker.
He's full of it. We didn't celebrate Halloween. We were raised Jehovah's Witness.
All right, you guys, get back to your party and have a happy and spooky and chilling Halloween.
But safe.
Yeah, have a happy, chilling, spooky, and safe Halloween. The phone number here is 749-1444 if you want to get in on this spookorama.
So I was leaving my friend's house, and I noticed that their black cat was sitting on the porch.
Did it cross your path?
No, I went and grabbed it.
Oh, boy.
I was like, come here, kitty. I threw him back in the house. Because I didn't want some Hamilton pseudo-Satanist cutting him open.
Does that happen a lot in Hamilton?
I don't know. My sister lost her cat around Halloween.
Really?
That was in Fairfield, though.
Are there any Oriental restaurants nearby?
Oh, yeah. Fairfield's like the home of Chinese food now.
Well, that's what happened to your cat. It wasn't nothing supernatural about that.
Well, they just waited till Halloween. No, there's nothing supernatural about it. It's just that these kids, these are little jerk-offs, and they want an excuse to kill an animal. And so they wait for Halloween, and they go snatch everybody's cat, and they kill him. And it just disgusts me. So I did a good deed. I threw the cat back in the house. I'm sure the next person in the house let him out. And now he's probably... Deal was, he was sitting on a porch. This cat weighs 40 pounds. He's sitting on a porch, sitting on a chair, and he's huge, and the porch light was on. I was like, oh my gosh, he's just waiting to be abducted. Someone's going to abduct that kitty, so I threw him back in the house. I did my good deed for the day. Ah, see, 1 year I was a clown.
You're still a clown.
1 year I was Spider-Man. 1 year I was a cowboy. I might have been Spider-Man 5 years in a row. I kind of liked Spider-Man there for a while.
Yeah?
From 7 to 12, I may have been Spider-Man every year. 1 year I was a hunchback bowler. Put on my dad's bowling shirt and put a pillow on my shoulders.
A hunchback bowler? What's the best game you ever bowled as a hunchback?
I didn't ever go bowling with the pillow on my back, but...
You bowl too much, Rob.
Yeah.
You guys are mad. Say the phone number, Rob.
749-1444.
Thank you.
case you just tuned in, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show official. There you go.
Thanks.
Right, is that better?
Thank you.
Whoa! This is the Chris and Rob Halloween Spooktacular. The phone number here is 749-1444. 749-1444 is the phone number at the Chris and Rob Halloween Spooktacular. We have on the phone a gentleman named Mike. You might recall Mike called us about 5 or 10 minutes ago and complained on the air about his boss. Mike works part-time at Lee's Famous Recipe here in town.
And he spends his every waking moment plotting disasters for his co-workers and his boss. And hoping and wishing and trying to cast spells, bad luck spells, on his boss and co-workers. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah.
So Mike has called back and he has something else on his mind.
You rue the day you were hired by Lee's Famous Recipe. Is that right, Mike? You absolutely, positively cannot stand the idiot you work for, can you, Mike?
No,
you said that you hated the guy you worked for more than you would hate Satan if you ever met him.
Yeah.
Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, he called me. He was listening.
Right after you rued the day, he called you up and what did he say? Did he say, Mike, you're fired? Or did he just say, make sure you show up to work a little early tomorrow for bathroom detail?
No, he said, were you just now on the radio saying that stuff? Because I swear that was your voice. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, why the hell do you hate me for? And we got into it a little bit.
And so what'd you tell him?
Well, I just told him that I hated the way he ran things and stuff like that. And I thought that, you know, he was never going to get laid again in his life. And I thought that his wife was ugly and all that.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay, first of all, I don't like the way you make out the schedule, and your wife's ugly. Nice, Mike. That's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, I do have to show up tomorrow, so he didn't fire me. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, you know, did he give you the old my way or the highway routine?
No, he was just like, screw your opinion.
Well, good for him. I'm glad he can take it.
I mean, he said that you guys can come by, though, for free food.
Where is it?
Springdale Pike, off Route 4.
All right, we're there, man.
Oh, where is it? Up there,
That's up by your house, Robbie.
That's up there by my house.
It's off Kemper.
It's
right next to a bank. It's right next to a White Castle and a bank.
Yeah, it's down there in Route 4.
That's like at the corner of Kemper and,
It's like in Forest Park, man.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the daytime cook there.
There's UDF and a marathon and all that stuff.
And so if we come in and say we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, we get all the free chicken wings we can eat.
You got it, man.
Mike, and what's your boss's name?
Steve.
Steve's a big fan, too. Big shout-out to Steve.
Woo!
Woo! Love that Lee's Famous Recipe.
Let's give Steve some spooky sounds. Where's this one here? Spooky sounds for Steve.
Oh, he'll like that. That's cool.
Halloween spooky sounds. You heard it here first on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Hey, do you ever have dreams like all these chickens with no legs and wings are coming after to get you?
Yeah. Yeah. I swear, I've been there almost a year, and I'm beginning to hate it.
Man, a year to work at a fast food place is a long time.
Well, unless you make me.
Well, good. Good for you,
so,
Mike.
I mean, you know,
all right, well, great. Good luck, Mike. I hope you and Steve can work things out. You should never insult anybody's wife.
Your show rules, man.
Thank you. So do you.
Okay.
Liner.
We got a line open at 749-1444, so let's get some calls in, and we want to hear some ghost stories. We haven't had any ghost stories yet. Rob, do you have any good ghost stories for Halloween?
No, but as you know, and I don't want to go into it tonight, but you know I am a very firm believer in ghosts.
Uh-huh.
As you well know, I am a very firm believer in ghosts.
At 1:30 tonight, we're going to call Dale Kazmarek. He's the president of the Ghost Research Society, so stay tuned. At 1:30, we're going to be talking to him.
GRS. GRS.
GRS.
GRS, Ghost Research.
Ghost
Research.
Okay, I get it. And if you tune into the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show next week, Chris and Rob will be out of here, will be history. The Cafe Nicotine will be sitting in, fielding your calls, your questions, and I'm sure they have a wonderful show planned.
I bet the Cafe Nicotine could talk, you know, those guys could talk about Roy Rogers, and they could compare and contrast Roy Rogers to Lee's Famous Recipe. How often do you guys sweep the floor? Once a month? Once every 3 weeks? You know, things like that. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, this was like, this guy told me this. He's from back at home, back in Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
But like, it still like scares me to this day.
Well, what is it?
There's this house like in upstate New York. Okay. It was like really weird. The whole front yard was like a desert.
Okay.
And there was a cactus growing in it.
Gross.
Okay.
Wait, in upstate New York.
Really, upstate New York.
In upstate New York, they got a desert and a cactus.
That is okay, spooky. So there's cactus growing in this yard, and I mean, you knew the house was fucking weird because it's the only thing that grew in
Kiss your mom with that mouth, Bob.
You know, huh?
Kiss your mom with that mouth.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Oh, sorry.
Okay, finish your story here and keep it clean.
Okay, yeah, I can't help it. But, okay, well, one day, it was like his aunt or something.
Yeah.
She was baking a cake, okay, and it was around Christmas time, okay? I mean, which isn't that far off from Halloween, so. I mean, it was at Christmas time, she's baking this cake, and she hears this, she's unpacking her Christmas bulbs to hang on her tree, and she hears this smash, this pop, pop, pop. She's down fixing the cake. And she goes up, checks the bulbs, and there's no bulbs missing or anything.
Uh-oh.
She goes back, gets the cake, it's ready to be out of the oven, cuts it open, and there's glass all through the cake.
Oh, man. Really?
Yes. That is a true story.
How'd that happen?
I don't know.
Was it colored glass?
Yes.
What?
It was that red and green glass. And it was all throughout the cake. It was an angel food cake.
And then there's this guy.
It figures that there'd be broken glass inside of an angel food cake.
Yes. And then there's this kid, and he ate, like, for his birthday, which came on Halloween.
Uh-huh.
He ate a whole bunch.
And there's raisin
of these moon
there.
Rocks. And, like, he ate, like, 12 packs of those moon rocks.
Uh-huh.
And then he went back home to Kentucky. And he drank a Dr. Pepper, and his stomach exploded.
Whoa. Like that fizz fuzz that Mikey ate.
You don't want to
mess
with Mikey that stuff.
Mikey ate, and he drank pop, and his stomach exploded.
You don't want to mess with that. All right, thanks for checking in there, Bob.
Okay,
good luck in all your future endeavors, and try not to be too scared.
Yeah, thanks for the ghost story, Bob. 749-1444 is the phone number.
You know what tipped it off was the old cactus in front of the house.
Yeah, that's weird. How can there be a cactus in upstate New York?
That is weird.
That's really weird. That's spooky in itself.
I thought cacti needed, you know, hot, dry conditions. Not like those.
Hello, John. You're on the air.
Hey, it's John again.
Hi, John.
I just wanted to finish up something I was just telling you. The Hibernian, which is the old word for Ireland.
Uh-huh.
The Hibernian traditional language was Gaelic.
Yeah.
And I just want to say if Lucy's listening, I love you, Lucy. I love Niall, too. Goodbye.
Okay, Lucy, big shout-out to Lucy.
Ooh, Lucy. Lucy Goosey.
Lucy in the with time.
Lucy Goosey.
What do you think the relationship is between John and Lucy?
I think John is estranged from Lucy. Niall is probably John's love child by Lucy. And Lucy went back to night school, got her associate's degree in real estate, and told John to hit the road. Said, take your dusty Hibernian books, get out of my life. Me and Niall are moving.
Save all
forward.
Your Celtic crap for the late night talk shows. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Take you and your chieftain record and get the hell out of here.
Do you think old John listens to a lot of the chieftains?
Yeah.
If I'd known this was going to happen tonight, I'd have brought a chieftain's record along.
I just got the new one. I have Long Black Veil and Mick Jagger sings and stuff.
749-1444. This is the Chris and Rob late night talk show.
I had forgotten that Halloween was really just, you know, St. Patrick's Day in the fall.
Yeah. Kind of is.
I didn't know it was just, you know, the Irish have done everything. Man. Go in the other room, dude. Get out of here. Beat it. Scram! We're banishing Jim the producer from the studio. Get out of here, you methane producer.
Now, you know, this year, as... Well, let me start at the beginning.
Start at the beginning.
A few years back, the world started to go PC. You know what I mean by PC?
Politically correct.
That's right. Save the whales, the whole business. I think you
save a tree, eat a beaver.
I think you know what's been happening since then. I mean, everybody's totally PC about everything. Well, PC is even hitting Halloween now.
Yeah.
Instead of giving out candy, many families are choosing to give out healthy food, such as raisins, peanuts, and oatmeal.
How is that PC? What does politics have to do with giving out healthy food?
Well, because you're not supposed to be giving kids fattening candy anymore. Candy that makes them hyper and makes them fat.
And it's just loaded with processed sugar, and you have no idea what's in that stuff.
Non-candy snack foods are becoming a new trick-or-treat tradition, according to the Snack Food Association, in conjunction with the National Potato Promotion Board.
But as I just said a little earlier,
You know, back when I was a youngster, back in the 70s, you could go ahead and eat a popcorn ball or an apple or a potato. But nowadays, if somebody drops a baked potato in your sack, you're not going to break out the onions and, chives and sour cream.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can't get... The thing is, okay, we're sitting here scarfing down these Tootsie Rolls, and boy, they are good.
Oh, they're real good.
Oh, who knows what's in those things? Who knows what's in those things? They're not good for you, is the point. I mean, somebody could give you something healthy, like, I don't know, a granola popcorn ball. You're not going to eat it, though, because you could be arsenic in there.
That's right. The popularity of pretzels in particular, with their excellent nutritional value, has made them an excellent choice for handing out this Halloween.
Pretzels don't have any nutritional value. They're just not fattening.
I have a quote here for Michael. Michael is a freckle-faced 11-year-old who shakes his head in disgust when he hears about these new PC non-candy snack foods.
What's Michael say?
Michael says, they should give out candy, not breakfast.
That's why I give him a couple fried eggs and drop some fried eggs right near the top of the
Michael continues to say, you'll get the same answer from every single kid. Everyone likes candy, not cream of wheat or oatmeal or raisins.
Who's giving out cream of wheat?
Mm-hmm. Somebody must be.
Now, you know, I'd made some cream of wheat the other day and I did enjoy it. Oatmeal, I can do without. Oh, like little pack, like those individual packets of oatmeal probably is what they were giving out.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know what kid is going to want to get oatmeal for Halloween?
Trick or what's this oatmeal doing in here?
Mm-hmm.
This has got to be from the Post. If it's a clever headline, it's in the Post. If it's a dippy headline, it's the Inquirer.
Right. 749-1444 is the phone number. This is the Chris and Rob Halloween Spooktacular, and we're sitting here being chilling. Listen to this. Boo! We're sitting here being chilling until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Bagels? You're supposed to give a kid a bagel?
At 1:30, we're going to
break his bag.
A bagel will break his bag.
A bagel. I mean, a big, heavy bag. You can get a good, you know, honey, wheat, and raisin bagel. That thing will weigh like 5 pounds.
Who gets a bagel for Halloween?
That's another one of these things that are great. Mrs. Hogan, somebody in Michigan, she likes to give out the individual-sized packages of instant oatmeal or cream of wheat. God. You know what I can never understand? You know what used to just tick me off, and I think we've covered this topic before, but it bears mentioning again.
What's that?
This misnomer, this blatant lie, this deception that they put on those itty-bitty, teeny-weeny, itsy-bitsy, tiny-whiny, minuscule candy bars. They call them fun size. They'll give you a Snickers about as half the size of the end joint of your thumb and call it the fun size Snickers. I always thought...
They should call it real little size, not enough to fill you up size.
I always thought a fun size Snickers would be one about the size of my head. I thought that would be a good... That'd be a fun size Snickers bar. Not this little bitty tiny thing. It's one bite and it's gone. That's always bugged me. Fun size. Hey, ma'am, what kind of candy did you buy at the store? Oh, I bought you some fun size Snickers. Oh, goody, goody. These things are going to be big. Then you see the bag, and you're like, what is this? What are they like? They look like Hershey's Kisses. That's not fun. Give me the big one. Give me the quarter pounder. The king size bar should be fun size. And those itty bitty ones should be. You sure don't want these laying around your own house, or you give them out to somebody else? Which one's scariest?
I don't know.
You know, this St. Vitus dance sounds pretty spooky. It sounds pretty Celtic. I remember what all Celtic meant was like you were like Donald O'Connor, and you sang what's the name of that place that only certain people can see, and it only appears every once in a while?
Branson, Missouri.
No, what's the name of that place, Jim?
What?
There's like this old city in Ireland, and only some people can see it, or it only
maybe,
shows
maybe John,
up.
The local Celtic expert, will call back and let us know what it's called.
Oh, God, you guys know what it is.
I don't know.
You know what it is, Jim. There's like this city, and it appears, and then it's gone, and then, you know.
Say the phone number, Rob.
Oh, it's driving me crazy. So I think they made a musical about it, even.
What, the HMS Pinafore?
Not Brigadoon. I don't know. 749-1444. It's driving me nuts.
Can you imagine Halloween without Black Sabbath?
I can't, especially on a Tuesday.
Especially on Halloween.
Late Night Talk Show.
The phone number here is 749-1444. Say that again, Rob.
You said it.
I said it already, so you should know it. We're sitting here talking about all things spooky and chilling. This is the Chris and Rob Halloween Spooktacular. We do it every year that Halloween falls on our talk show.
Yeah, here you go. You're talking about the nutritional value of pretzels?
Yeah, let's talk about the nutritional value of pretzels as a Halloween treat.
Very little fat. Very little fat at all.
That's good.
Sodium, a hell of a lot. Vitamin A, none. Calcium, none. Thiamine, 4% of your RDA. Niacin, none. Vitamin C, none. Iron, none. Riboflavin, none. That's pretty, you know.
That's a healthy treat right there, Rob. Who in the world is going to want to eat one of those on Halloween? I mean, come on.
A pretzel?
Yeah, who's going to want that?
Pretzels are good.
Give me some sweet tarts any day.
Ah!
What's that stuff you used to get in the big straw? It was just powder.
Pixie stick.
Yeah, those things were awful.
Those are great.
They're awful.
Okay. You can make Kool-Aid out of them, dude.
So we need some ghost stories. We're going to get some ghost stories at 1:30, so stay tuned. Until then, 749-1444, we're taking your calls. We're going to talk to the Ghost Research Society, President Dale Kazmarek. We're going to talk to him at 1:30. He knows all about ghosts, ghost busting, the world's most haunted house, Royal Ghosts of England, evidence for ghost photography, and true ghost stories from the Chicagoland area. Why do people in Chicago call it Chicagoland?
Why do people in Cincinnati call it the Blue Chip City?
I don't know.
What? I don't know. You do all these weird gyrations and goofy hand signals and nobody knows what's going on. Saw one big giant broken pumpkin right out in the middle of the street today. Kind of broke my heart. Thought, you know, somebody worked long and hard carving that jack-o'-lantern. And then some punk kid comes along and just splatters its brains and guts and glory all over Noyes Avenue there in Hamilton, Ohio. But life goes on. Life does go on. And
Didn't you ever smash pumpkins when you were a wee one?
I never did, man. I was cool.
But you always keep your nose clean.
I was just not amused easily. I was not one of those guys that was amused by bright and shiny objects and or breaking pumpkins.
What, you were reading Shakespeare when you were 12?
Indeed I was, forsooth.
What was your favorite Shakespeare book when you were 12?
My favorite book?
Yeah, what was your favorite Shakespeare book?
My favorite novel by Shakespeare. That would have to be Merchant of Venice.
You like that one?
Yeah.
Why, because it's funny?
It's the only one I know anything about.
No.
It's the only one I ever read.
Did Shakespeare ever write anything about Halloween?
Probably. He always had... That's why I didn't like Shakespeare.
What's that one with bubbles, and cauldrons?
Well, that's Othello, isn't it?
And then it had a witch in it.
Yeah. That's why I never got into Shakespeare. I always had kings. Oh, boy. Oh, the problems of rich people. Yeah, kings. Who cares? You always had witches. Oh, great. It might have been Hamlet. The witches might have been Hamlet. I don't know. It was one of the biggies, though.
It was one of his last ones, if I remember.
Just bored to me to tears, all that king crap.
Okay, we're going to call Chicago now. Find out if there's any ghosts in Chicago.
We're talking to this guy now?
Chicago.
Hi, is this Chicago?
Yeah, it's Chicago.
Hi, this is Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together, we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Tonight's the Chris and Rob Spooktacular. Happy Halloween, Joe.
Hey, hang on a minute, all right?
Okay. We're on hold in Chicago.
I heard G. Gordon Liddy the other day get put on hold.
Who put G. Gordon Liddy on hold?
Hey, Jay Gordon, I just want to tell you. Oh, hold on, man. Some idiot from the University of Texas. Chris, I have a question for you. Don't make endings like that anymore.
No, man. R.E.M. could never end a song like that.
Nope.
So what's your question, Rob? You have a question?
What is the difference between a gremlin and a goblin? And what exactly is a goblin?
I don't know.
What exactly is a gremlin?
Isn't a goblin like got little pointy ears and he's green, and a gremlin is kind of furry? See, I remember Spielberg has done movies about both of them, gremlins and goblins.
Does either one of them possess magical powers? Why do... What the heck?
It's ringing again.
How's it ringing? We didn't...
If you'd like to make a call, please...
Joe hung up on
Joe's him. A bastard. There's nothing worse than calling Chicago and getting hung up on. I mean, you hear about ghosts and goblins. Okay, we know what ghosts are. Now, what's a goblin, though? I never knew what a goblin was. And what's a banshee? Is that just an Irish
witch? Isn't a gremlin kind of like a good thing, and a goblin's like a bad thing? Like, a gremlin's cute and furry and fuzzy, and you can make a pet out of it, and a goblin will, like, get inside your airplane engine and tear things up, and...
See, now, what you're doing here is... Oh, God!
Okay.
Ah! That pretzel's going to kill me. Let me get a little diet right here.
Okay, Rob's getting a little diet right there. Wash that pretzel down.
Man, what do we have cough buttons on these mics?
We don't have cough buttons
or burp
at this
buttons. Or burp buttons, even.
We don't have that at this radio station.
But anyway, what you're doing is you're confusing that Bugs Bunny cartoon where he was trapped in the airplane with the gremlin with that Steven Spielberg Gremlins movie, aren't you? That's where you're getting your idea of gremlins.
I think so. Well, there was also that Twilight Zone where the airplane had a gremlin in it and it was going to make the airplane wreck.
Yeah, but what about that one where it's like these really gross, ugly, like, aliens were getting ready to operate on this person because she was so hideously deformed, and they were like, oh, she's so ugly, we can't save her, she's so ugly. And then they showed the person who was about to be operated. Well, the thing is, they did that for, 28 minutes. She's so ugly, we can't even operate on her. She's so ugly. She'll never be anything. Then they showed a person they're getting ready to operate on, and you know who it was?
Who was it?
Ellie Mae from Beverly Hillbillies.
Really?
Yeah. What's her? Donna Douglas, who was just absolutely perfect looking. But you see, that's the way, like, different cultures have different ideas of beauty. And then there was this Twilight Zone where they listened to the radio. They were all in a diner, and they're listening to the radio, and the radio's like,
And the Martians have landed on Earth, and the Earth is being taken over.
And everybody's like, oh, God, the Martians are here, the Martians are here. And everybody left the diner to go kill the Martians. And there was just two guys left in the bar, the diner. The guy who was working there, the chefs, the chef guy.
Right.
And another guy wearing a brown suit, because everybody wore brown suits in the old days. And the guy in a brown suit says, give me a cup of coffee. So he gets his coffee. And he says to the guy behind the counter, do you really believe all those stories about the Martians being on Earth? And the guy behind the counter is like, I don't know if I should believe them or not, but I really don't think they are. And then, like, the guy's opening the sugar for his coffee, and he starts stirring it with his third arm. He's a Martian.
Wow.
And he's like, I'd believe him if I were you. And then the guy behind the counter says, oh, well, don't worry about it. You guys are too late. He takes off his hat. And he's got a third eye. He's a Venusian. He said, we Venusians have already beat you here. That is Twilight Zone. It's so stupid.
749-1444. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show at 749-1444. If you want to call and get in on this Halloween spooktacular, we're going to be telling ghost stories till 2 o'clock.
Don't take life for granted. Get in the safety belt habit. Be sure everyone in the car buckles up. Every trip, every time. Your life or the life of someone you love could depend on it. This message has been brought to you by the American Automobile Association and WAIF FM. Chris, do you have something to add?
Yeah, we're going to talk about electrocution systems in electric chairs and how they operate in prisons around the country.
This week?
Yeah, we're going to talk about tonight. A good electrocution system uses 3 electrodes. Electricity is introduced through an electrode on the inmate's head. You put a small metal beanie on his head, and then electricity travels through the body toward the 2 electrodes tightly secured to the ankles.
Did I ever tell you about that movie I saw with Morton Downey Jr. in it?
What's that?
He was working at a radio station, and he had the hots for his boss. And, you know, Morton Downey Jr. played a big sexist pig. It was a big stretch for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so his boss acted like she was going to give him some once. And she had one of those, like, clear masks on that, you know, you just distort your features so you can't tell it who it is. But you can see through it. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Okay, good. So anyway, she has old Mort pull down his pants. She handcuffs him. He's getting into it. And, of course, he's got on, like, garter socks, you know. They got to make him look stupid. He's got on garter socks and, like, big giant boxers with hearts on them. So she pulls down his boxers and starts tasering his nuts. Until he passed out. And you didn't really know if he died or if he just passed out from having his sack tasered.
During the electrocution process, it's important to maintain good circuit continuity at the electrode contacts.
Now, what I heard is the guy has to be sweating a little bit.
Really?
Because if the guy is perfectly dry, it doesn't work as well because, you know, water and electricity don't mix. So they hope the guy gets nervous and starts sweating. Because if he's nervous and sweating, then he'll die.
Tight electrical contacts on the body help reduce flesh burning. What I mean by that is that the electrical current will cook your body. It's important to limit the current. If you overload an individual's bodies with electric current, which is more than 6 amps or so, you'll cook the meat on the body. It's kind of like the meat on an overcooked chicken. After he's dead, if you grab the arm, the flesh will fall right off and into your hands. So when you're executing somebody, got to make sure you use the right amount of...
No more than 6 amps?
Yeah, otherwise, 2,000 volts is usually sufficient to seize the heart. So, keep that
so you
in
need,
mind.
Okay, who wants, what's a volt and what's an amp?
Jim?
You're science boy.
Well, voltage is just the potential, the force behind it. An amp is the current that flows through.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
Amps and measure of current.
What's a volt?
Voltage is like, it's like analogous to water pressure and water volume, you know. Flowing through a pipe. Think of electricity, electrons,
okay.
As just water flowing through
okay.
A pipe. The voltage is the pressure.
The voltage is the pressure.
And the current, the amperage, is the flow rate, you know, how many gallons per minute.
So, you could actually have low pressure, but then a big giant amount. So you can, and or you could have high pressure and really little amount if you got a little bitty hole. So which one's the pressure? The amp? The volts, the pressure. Okay, so that's the least important one then.
There's a company in Boston you can buy electric chairs from.
Heard a guy's a dork.
The guy is a dork.
That's Bostonian for dork. He's
really?
A dork.
He can sell you a lethal injection system for $30,000, gallows, that's the things you hang people with, for $85,000, or a gas chamber for $200,000.
How can you not build your own gallows for less than $85,000?
This guy builds them professionally, mess-free. He knows what he's doing.
Mess free. You know where the mess is? Is when he... Did you ever read In Cold Blood by Truman Capote?
No.
See, that's what I was doing when I was 12 instead of breaking pumpkins and stuff.
You were reading Truman Capote.
Yeah.
I was out smashing my neighbor's pumpkin and you were reading Truman Capote.
Well, anyway, at the end of In Cold Blood, or it's also this part of it is mentioned in the movie as well, they hang the two guys in Kansas. And they were surprised because the one guy who they thought was kind of cowardly didn't crap himself, but the other guy did. Because you usually do crap yourself when you get hung.
Well, here's what I know about hanging.
And you know what else you die with when you get hung?
What?
Guess.
Well, it snaps your spinal cord.
Yeah, well, guess what else happens, though?
What?
Guess.
Your head will come off.
No, this is late night talk, and we're talking to 15-year-old kids. Guess what happens?
What?
You get a rod.
Really?
Somehow you get a rod. You die with a drawer full of poo and a rod.
Okay, that's great.
WAIF Cincinnati, only the first information about hanging.
749-1444. Recently, the state of Washington undertook the job of looking for a qualified hangman.
Because they had this big guy, like 500 pounds, they wanted to hang.
But they couldn't find a guy. So they got this guy, I was referring to in Boston, I'm not going to say his name, who is an expert on hangers, and he designed a gallows that employs a hanging formula designed by British military executioner years ago. The hand-built gallows drops the inmates with a force of 1,600 foot-pounds, which is sufficient to sever the inmate's spinal cord and painlessly snap his neck.
So your thing is, this fat guy said that he was so fat that his head would fall off, and that would be cruel and unusual punishment. He said, look at me, I weigh 500-600 pounds. If you try to hang me, my head's going to come off my shoulders, and then that would be cruel and unusual punishment. So I don't know if they offed him with the injection or they fried him or what.
Hello, Gary. You're on the air with Chris and Rob.
Hey, what's happening?
Hi, Gary.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How you doing?
All right.
Where are you calling from tonight, Gary?
Calling from my truck.
From your truck. You're on a car phone. Truck phone.
Right.
Truck phone, Gary. Did you go trick-or-treating tonight?
No, I didn't.
Did you hand out candy to the tykes?
No, I didn't. I worked.
Where'd you work at?
Ford.
You work at Ford?
Yeah.
What, out there in Batavia?
Sayreville.
Oh, okay. So how were things at work tonight? Did you guys all get dressed up?
No, we ugly enough.
Oh, okay. So what's on your mind tonight?
Don't have a mind.
Okay. As you can see, we get the best callers here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
You ever go to Al's Bar and get a sandwich?
Al's Bar, yeah.
Oh, that's...